Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is 12:03, Wednesday, December 31st. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for the final 2025 edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour. I'm Rachel Pearson, filling in for Rob Hart. We're taking a look back at the year, and we're looking forward to 2026. A busy afternoon here. Now, a year of major technology breakthrough, certainly redefining our lives. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, retail investors are closing out one of their strongest years ever, beating Wall Street at its own game with bold, disciplined strategies. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com based in D.C. Mark, retail investors closing out one of their best years. So what went right for these, we'll call them mom and pop investors?
Well, it was very popular this year, the strategy of always buying the dip. So whenever the market would drop, you put more money into the market. And this year that worked out. Now, I have to remind everyone that that doesn't always work out. And I think that's the reason why retail investors did so much better than Wall Street. Wall Street investors, even though I'm not here to defend them because they have plenty of bad records themselves, but they tend to have longer memories. And they'll remember those periods of time when dips did not recover right away to a new market high, but in fact, the dips were the beginning of a much deeper drawdown. And so people with shorter memories, which tend to be retail investors, they were rewarded this year by not remembering how bad things can be. And that's perhaps the way to think about next year. It's no guarantee that the dips that will hit the market, which inevitably will be the case during the year, will not be the beginning of a bear market.
Well, that was sort of my follow-up question. Is this amnesia reward going to continue into 2026? And I guess, you know, regardless of your answer, retail investors will buy the dip, right? That's what they do.
Well, that's right. And in fact, the longer it goes without that dip turning into something more serious, the more terrible, actually, the drawdown will eventually be when it does. Because when people immediately put money in the market to buy the dip, that tends to push the market back up a little bit, which means that the eventual drawdown that will wring the sort of excessive optimism out of the market has to be that much deeper to get more sanity back on Wall Street. So I think that means that the risk is growing as we go along. But in the meantime, as you pointed out at the beginning in your intro, investors were well rewarded for having that amnesia, rewarded for buying the dip.
Well, and I don't know, you know, I call it amnesia, but there might be some consciousness to this. I mean, data suggests retail investors are getting smarter and a little bit more hardened to the market. Can you sort of help us understand what that looks like in practice, other than buying the dip?
Well, I mean, I may be the wrong one to ask that, because I don't think that they're necessarily getting more hardened at all. There's a cycle on Wall Street where the people who go through a terrible downturn, like, for example, in recent years, the financial crisis, which is now over a decade away, people who have that kind of memory tend to be very cautious and don't automatically buy the dip. And then people who are younger, who hit the market after those drawdowns, who only know the market hitting successive new highs, then they're the ones who tend to sneer at all those fuddy-duddies who are risk-averse and cautious and so forth. And then eventually the market will have another big downturn, and those initially younger and riskier investors will become older and wiser. And it goes through this cycle. It's inevitably been the case. It's always been the case. And I can't see that human nature has changed, so I think it will continue to be the case.
Yeah, they'll experience their own housing crisis in due time, right? We also have seen a shift away from single stocks, an effort toward ETFs a little bit more. Did that move help retail investors' returns this year?
Well, it depends. I mean, there are ETFs now that where you basically you're buying an ETF that only invests in a single stock on margin, and sometimes 2-to-1 and 3-to-1 margin. This is just a recipe for incredible risk. It looks good when the market goes up, but you'll lose a heck of a lot and, in fact, can easily be wiped out if the market goes against you. That's not investing. That's just simply speculation or out-and-out betting. So it's hard to say that that is going to end well. In fact, I think it's almost certain that it will not end well.
Quickly, Mark, just based on what we saw this past year, what do you think is the biggest takeaway for retail investors heading into 2026?
Well, I think discipline is probably key, and don't always put everything, don't bet everything on working out. So I guess be cautious and risk averse and disciplined.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for The Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com. He's based in Washington, D.C. Coming up, a look at how several major tech advances over the past year are now changing the way we live, work, and connect.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Well, it's certainly been a big year for technology, from AI becoming everyday infrastructure to major leaps in autonomous driving. Let's talk about it with Paul Hawkman, president of Humongous Media, former tech editor for The Today Show based in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Paul, it wasn't that long ago that AI was just sort of this goofy thing that made a lot of typos and was just, we'll call it cringy, I guess. And now it is like structurally integral to like almost every aspect of society. What has led to this boom?
Well, that's the number one answer to that question is efficacy. In other words, chips that work really well. NVIDIA is obviously a great example. And they are incredibly fast in a compact space. That's also the case that essentially because AI sort of feeds on itself, learns from itself and from the world around it, and there's some worry there that it's going to know so much that it's going to have feelings soon. but in the near term, I don't know that it's excited about New Year's yet. But the point is that it is, in fact, improving so much because it learns from itself in part.
Okay,
that's the number one reason.
You laugh at it developing emotions. And I, you know, this is one of those things that sort of comes up when I have conversations about artificial intelligence. And that is, you sort of have to define what intelligence is. You're right. It has become more complex. It can learn from itself. But this technology isn't generating its own independent thoughts, right? This requires prompts. This requires input. This requires human interaction. So perhaps that's going to save us from an apocalyptic end to this thing. But what areas would you say are people most using AI right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the more, and you know, we can get back some other day to, you know, general intelligence, which is when the AI becomes aware of itself. But which some, by the way, say it's already. We've already gotten there, but the really sort of exciting, cool stuff, the shiny new object thing has passed. And now we're in a period of time where it's the mundane that's actually causing huge advances in business efficiency. Easy example, agentic AI. Agentic is just another word for an agent. And that's essentially a tool that is specialized in a certain particular discipline, say accounting or bookkeeping. And then there's another tool that talks to that accounting tool for you. So, for example, there is an AI tool I use all the time. It's called TLDV, which is an acronym for Too Long Didn't Video. And basically what it is it does a video transcription of a call, creates time code around when people said important things, according to the AI model, and then it tells you sort of impressions and can make emails that go out to the client, if it's been a client call, so that you can have a summary email sent out in 30 seconds. It summarizes. That's all great. But now the agent, the agentic AI thing, contacts that TLDV thing, that transcription thing, and then talks to bookkeeping, that AI. So the result is that you can say if the word invoice came up in that conversation, that agent, that AI agent, talks to your QuickBooks, if that's what you use, if you're a small business, and tells it to sort of get an invoice ready. And so all those things that were mundane tasks are being, that's a very low level thing, but it's being taken care of for huge numbers of small businesses, which, as you probably know, are the giant majority of businesses in the United States. So it's really advancing quickly.
Okay, but this AI efficacy can be a bit of a double-edged sword, because you're talking about saving time, you know, doing these mundane tasks that ate up time that no one wants to do. But then we know this is going to continue to grow to become more complex, more advanced. And that's going to reshape the way we know the workforce, because some of these jobs are going to become obsolete.
That's exactly right. You know, first of all, that's been true of every technical advance ever, as you know. In other words, I drove by a building in Cambridge, Massachusetts, near where I live, and there was a giant building I was showing. It's the Henderson Carriage Building. It's the largest building in Cambridge, Massachusetts, that was built before 1900. And it used to house a giant horse and buggy operation. Now, that building is filled with people on computers doing all kinds of stuff that uses, among other things, AI. So my point is that jobs go away when there's a technical advance, mm-hmm. and there's a shift. And some people who claim, for example, that these data centers that are arriving because to serve this AI surge will create jobs. Well, you know what? Those jobs are mostly security and maintenance. So that's not the same thing. That said, new consultants will arise to serve businesses that don't know how to navigate AI and other businesses. So the point is the day is young, as they say, and that will change. Jobs will be created. But right now, you're absolutely right. You're seeing disruption.
Right, right. And workforce adaptation, not necessarily elimination. Thanks so much for joining us. Paul Hawkman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show. Up next, we'll take a look at jobs and opportunities in the new year.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As the new year begins, a lot of job seekers want to know where the opportunities are and what the evolving economy means for workers in the months ahead. So we'll discuss it with Jason Wachtel, managing partner at JW Michaels & Company here in Chicago. Jason, as we begin 2026, a lot of job seekers are looking for clarity. So when you look at the job market heading into the new year, where is demand actually growing?
Well, first off, I think we are entering a really great time for looking for a job. I think we've seen the job numbers much better than people thought coming towards the end of the year, which generally is very slow. And from what we're seeing at JW Michaels, we do expect a strong hiring in the first quarter.
And what areas specifically, if any, are you noticing that surge?
You know, we're seeing it across the board, but I think when you see, like, for example, when you see these big AI companies building these huge facilities, so you see it influx in construction jobs. And then when those are built, you're going to see people needing technologists. You're going to see people needing accountants, warehouse workers. You're seeing all these big banks hiring in wealth management and private credit. So there's all different types of opportunities that are coming to fruition. And so if you've been looking for a job, generally it's a little bit slow at the end of the year, but you can expect it to be a very strong first quarter for looking for a new job.
Would you say that employers are placing more value on someone's adaptability, like their practical skills that can translate? Because, I mean, I think across the board, we're seeing companies shift the way they operate with the implementation of AI.
Yeah, so I think what you're seeing with companies, they are being a little more flexible because skilled labor is still at a premium, and a lot of companies have started some growth, and if they're waiting for the perfect person, they're being stagnant in growth. So I think what you're seeing is a lot of entry-level jobs, recent college grads, are being impacted by AI for research and things like that. So then you have your middle employees 5 to 8 years where companies are being a little bit more broad, and they're hiring in that area. Recent college grads are going to have a little bit of a difficult time because AI is taking some of those jobs away.
Yeah, so what advice would you have for a college graduate that's looking to dip their feet in 2026?
I think the most important thing is be familiar with AI, take classes, even take an internship part-time. You need to get experience with AI. And if you come in with some experience in AI and you've had some jobs over the summer, a little bit more on the operational side, you should be in a good position. But if you don't have any AI experience or exposure, I would encourage you to do something immediately, because that will add a lot of value to companies who are looking to hire recent college grads.
Thanks so much, Jason Wachtel, Managing Partner at JW Michaels & Co. here in Chicago. Still ahead in Personal Finance Wednesday, we're talking money resolutions for the new year. And at 12:49, a visit with an emergency room doctor ahead of a typically very busy night.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks so much for joining us. I'm Rachel Pearson in for Rob Hart. Well, stocks are trading lower. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Hugh Johnson. He's chairman and chief investment officer at Hugh Johnson Economics in Albany, New York. Hugh, aside from today's minimal movement, we really had a strong 2025.
Boy, we sure did, and that's the third year in a row, Rachel. This year, we're up about 17%. I think that's where we're going to close. And you've got to cross your fingers and hope for the best to get a fourth year in a row. Right now, when you ask some of the folks that are that are really thinking about 2026, the consensus is that it's going to be a good year, but not a great year. We're not going to be looking at 17% in the stock market. Cross your fingers if we get 5%. Let's not forget, then next year is a midterm election year. And during midterm election years, we tend to get a fairly good stock market, but nowhere near that 17%, closer to something like 5%. Quite frankly, that would be good news, and we'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, there's also been a lot of talk lately about a broadening of the market. We're seeing some of that kick into gear as the year ends. Is that going to continue in the start of 2026?
I wish I knew, but there are going to be some changes. And although artificial intelligence is still going to be a big driver of the market, things are going to shift within that space of artificial intelligence. Instead of seeing sort of the big sort of, we call them hyperscalers, we're going to see something closer to some of the companies that are involved in building, heating, and cooling of data centers. In other words, we're going to see some smaller companies you may not have heard of. They're not going to be the hyperscalers that are going to lead. I think it's going to be smaller companies that are going to lead. And again, those are the companies involved in the building, heating, and cooling of data centers. That'll be that change, but there's also going to be, as you suggested, a broadening of the market. We're seeing that more recently, but it's not going to be a big broadening. We're still going to have the economically sensitive sectors of the market, technology included, some consumer discretionary included, industrials included, that are going to probably be at the top of the performance ladder. And at the bottom of the performance ladder will be some of the defensive sectors. Real estate, I think, is not going to come out of the doldrums, so I'd stay away from that one. But I'd also include consumer staples. You know, they've had a lot of difficulty over the course of the last 2 years. So those are defensive stocks I hope, I cross my fingers, that we'll still be on the offense, and that means some of the economically sensitive sectors.
I mean, Hugh, we saw a surge. I mean, pretty much any company could throw out the words AI, the letters AI, and you'd see its stock go up because there was just so much hype around it at the start of the year. And now it's starting to flush out into like which companies are actually using it sustainably, what's going to have a lasting impact. Do you think we'll get a little bit more clarity in the new year as we start to see AI's implementation across a broader variety of uses?
That's the big question as we move into 2026. Is this going to be the same thing as we saw in 2000 with the problems we had with technology stocks in 2001, 2002? Are we going to see a payoff? Are we going to see a payoff in artificial intelligence for those companies that have spent billions of dollars to be a part of the whole process? My answer is we're going to start to see better numbers, and I think that's going to be positive for the artificial intelligence stocks. The thing we will not see, which is going to be very different from the year 2000, is we won't see a recession starting in, say, 2 to 4 quarters, and we won't see a decline in corporate profits, which we also saw in 2000. I think that we're going to have ongoing growth in the economy. It's not going to be strong, but we'll see ongoing growth, and we're not going to see a decline in earnings. We're going to see ongoing acceleration or growth in earnings. So this will be different than the year 2000, and that means positive, but not as positive as we saw in the last 3 years.
Yeah, and Hugh, just quickly, because you've touched on it, we obviously had this banner year, but what advice do you have for investors who were sitting on the sidelines throughout that rally?
Yeah, I'm sorry to see that. You know, the secret to being successful at this business, in my judgment, is time, not timing. Don't try to time the markets, when to get in and when to get out. The most successful investors I've seen in my lifetime, and it's been a long lifetime of financial markets, is really, it takes time, not timing. So have a good equity position, a solid equity position, something around your target, what you feel comfortable with. Maybe that's 50% or 60%. Big, high quality stocks, be diversified, stay with it. Don't try to time the market. Nobody can do that and do that successfully.
Thanks so much. Some sound advice from Hugh Johnson, Chairman and Chief Investment Officer at Hugh Johnson Economics. Up next in Personal Finance Wednesday, smart, realistic money resolutions for the new year.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Personal Finance Wednesday, so New Year's financial resolutions, well, they work best when they're realistic, focusing on small habits that build momentum instead of some big, drastic, unsustainable changes. We welcome Sherry Greco-Rikus, Regional Director of EP Wealth here in Chicago. And Sherry, a lot of people setting money goals right now. What do realistic financial resolutions look like?
Yeah, and I like to start kind of from 10,000 feet and go down. And there's a concept called SMART goals. And if your listeners are driving, you can always look it up, SMART. And what works best when you're setting a financial goal is you need to make it specific. That's the S. You need to measure it. That's the M. A, and this is the big one, is it really achievable? Be nice to yourself. Don't set this goal that really can't be achieved. Is it relevant to what you want to do? And what is the time? When are you going to get this goal done? And we can walk through some examples, but you know, it's a good time to just take a step back. And I always advise my clients, pick one goal. You know, we all want to do 100 things, but just pick one so you can achieve it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I sort of touched on this just a moment ago, too. It takes small changes. It's a small behavior. It's something small you could do every single day to work toward that goal. But yes, to have this like lofty idea of 7 different things that I'm going to buy in the next year, you're right. I'd rather focus on one and actually attain it.
Yeah, I mean, for example, let's say you have a financial goal that you want to get your will or trust updated. Well, that's specific. That's what you're going to do. How are you going to measure it when it's done and signed? Is it achievable? Most likely, you need to get it done. Is it relevant? Very important to have everything documented. And then you set a time. I want to do this in the next 90 days. And then you can break up that goal and you can say, you know, the first 30 days, I want to make an appointment with the attorney. then the next 30 days, meet with the attorney, get the information, and then see how long the attorney will take and have a goal to sign it. So the more specific you can be, how you can measure it, give yourself a time goal, the better you're going to achieve the goal. There's so many goals that we all make for ourselves at the beginning of the year, and all of a sudden it's December 31st, and we're like, did we achieve it? You have to have a plan.
Did we achieve it? Do we even remember what it was? That's the camp I'm in. If you asked me what my resolution was at the start of the year, I don't know if I could tell you. But, you know, what I do want to mention, and you touched on this M in SMART of measuring, that to me seems like a recurring thing, meaning you can obviously set a goal and know whether or not you've achieved it, but have check-ins throughout the year to track your progress in those efforts.
Yeah, and a lot of my clients, a lot of people I talk to, one of their big goals is to start saving. So come up with that amount that is truly achievable. That's the A in SMART. And then check, like you said, check your progress every quarter, every 6 months. Were you able to save what you wanted to, or did something come up and derail your savings? And if it did, then you need to take a strong look at your budget. But having a goal and trying to achieve it and measuring it is so important. It keeps it up front, so you won't end the year and saying, what was that goal and did I achieve it?
Thanks so much, Sherry Greco-Rikus, Regional Director of EP Wealth here in Chicago, also author of Maximize Your Return on Life. Up next, we'll take a look at a busy night that's expected for emergency rooms all across Chicago.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, New Year's Eve can turn chaotic pretty quick, and a trip to the emergency room could be a nightmare as ERs overflow with injuries and accidents. So let's get some insight with Dr. Chris Colbert. He's an ER doctor and assistant program director for the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC here in Chicago. And Dr. Chris, while I'm prepping for the show eating a Pop-Tart, I hear you're running a 5K, so thanks for already making me feel bad at the start of this show. But here's the thing. You're an emergency room physician. There is a special breed of doctors, I think, that feel called to work in that department. What about New Year's Eve in particular is so chaotic?
Well, I appreciate the invitation. This is the fourth year straight that I had an invitation. So happy New Year to you, to Andy, and to everyone at WBBM and all your listeners.
Oh, we just like you, so thank you.
Each and every year, for the past 4 years, I've always worked on New Year's, and there are some small adjustments that can be made to ensure that your friends and our family, your listeners, don't end up in the emergency room and still enjoy the day. One of the biggest things are orthopedic injuries. We get tons of individuals. It's always traction over fashion. We have some fresh snow in Chicago this evening, some cool temperatures. We see tons of people trying on shoes for the first time. Try the shoes on now. As soon as you hear my voice and as soon as this, try your shoes on, ladies and gentlemen. Don't make your shoes the first time trying on as you're walking out of the door and then trying on the new snow.
Yeah. And you know what? If you're going to the New Year's celebration along the riverfront, maybe don't wear the kitten heels, right? I think that's a recipe for disaster. I'm curious, you know, this is also a day that's synonymous with drinking and consuming alcohol. How much of that plays into an emergency room visit?
You know, we call this amateur night. It's amateur night for a lot of people who state this is the last year, day of the year, and they'll never do this again, or they're going to try something for the first time tonight. My recommendation is always, find a friend, be a friend, and be mindful, stick together, and be mindful with the alcohol that you consume. Have a designated driver, or maybe this year you can be that designated driver so everyone enjoys the day.
And I will say, we are so thankful to those who are working on holidays. You know, we want to be able to have emergency departments available for when there are these kinds of emergencies. Are there things that we could potentially hold off on or to avoid a potentially very, very long wait tonight?
Touche. I'm so glad you asked that question. The big thing is celebrate with champagne. Each year, we get individuals who have champagne corks that hit them in the eye. It's never the person opening the champagne and counting down from 10 to 1. It's always the individual who's standing next to them. So be mindful. You want to celebrate with bubbles, not with black eyes. So be mindful of opening the champagne bottles. We see this quite often in the emergency room on these nights. And also, skip the drive. Ride shares are often free in Chicago, and also line up your Ubers and your Lyft today, right now, so you can really enjoy your evening and have a safe transportation home.
Thanks so much, Dr. Chris Colbert, ER doctor, assistant program director of the Emergency Medicine Residency Program at UIC. Of course, if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have a replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com, as well as on the Odyssey app.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Let me enjoy this for a minute.
Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.